Now, tonight, we will have our monthly singing. It is true, we've got some folks that are sick. It is true, we've got some folks that are crowded. But we can still meet together. We have a good time singing praises to God. Just encouraging one another, strengthening one another as we praise our Lord in songs. I hope that everyone will be here tonight. Sometimes we try some new songs. Sometimes we ask for some old favorites. Whatever we will do, it will be to the honor and glory of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for this day, so grateful for every spiritual blessing. We want to thank you for your word, the Bible. We know it's under attack. It's been under attack for thousands of years. People have made fun of it, laughed at it, tried to say it contradicts itself. But we know your word is truth. We know your word has no contradictions. We know that your word gives us the way to salvation. It helps us live the Christian life. Gives us everything we need. Bless us as we study this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. And amen. For scripture reading this morning, I want to turn over to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse number 11. Titus chapter 2, begin at verse number 11. Paul said this: "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." In every endeavor in life, one of the main things that people look for is motivation. If you're talking about business, employers look at how can they motivate their employees to do better, to work harder, to be more faithful in their employees, what they do in a particular business. Sometimes the sales force, they will bring in the motivational speaker to inspire the salespeople to get out there and really, really work hard. In education, teachers and principals and administrators all look for things, the ways that they can motivate students to get them to study, to be prepared, to realize the fact that you need to study all through the year, all through the semester, not wait till the very end of the school year. In the area of health, we all need motivation to eat right, to exercise, to get the right amount of sleep, try to lose some weight, whatever the situation might be. But we need motivation in those areas as well. And when it comes to religion, the same is true. We need motivation to serve God, to love God, to obey God, to do God's will in all areas of our life. We realize the fact that people sometimes start strongly, but they fall away. It is a sad thing to think about. Sometimes it's the case that people are just not aware. The Bible says, for him that does do good and does it not, can be a sin. So people sometimes can know and not do. Also, we need to be aware of the fact that the Bible talks about how we can leave our first love. Revelation 2, the church at Ephesus has left its first love. Chapter 3 talks about the church at Laodicea that was neither cold nor hot. Cause them lukewarm, Jesus, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That can happen. In the book of Titus, we have a very unusual thing because Titus is on the island of Crete. It's a very unusual kind of situation. Paul emphasizes one word in this book several times, that is the word works. In Titus chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." In chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "We're to be zealous of good works." In chapter 3, verse 1, he said, "We're to be ready to every good work." Chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." Well, what is the motivation Titus can have to motivate people to be involved in all of these good works. Well, there's several things he mentions here in this passage in our scripture reading this morning. First of all, Paul says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And that ought to be a motivator for all of us, the grace of God. God's grace, as Andy mentioned one time in one of his lessons, that's God's riches at Christ's expense. The whole point is that because God has his grace, he is willing to provide for your salvation, and he did it by Jesus dying on the cross. There are times when people say, well, I don't know what salvation is about. Again, Andy dealt with that a couple nights. But it is the idea of all these things we find in the Bible: redemption, justification, atonement, reconciliation. All those passages, all those ideas certainly have different meanings, but it comes down to really the one main thing, that you are saved from your sins. Whatever you've done in your life, by the blood of Christ, it's washed away. I remember one time there was a discussion, I was present for it, and I came back and somebody told me that the Sunday school class had a very heated discussion because somebody said, on the day of judgment, we're going to have to answer for all of our sins. And somebody spoke up and said, well, not those before we're baptized. This man said, oh yes, we'll even answer for those. We'll answer for all of our sins. That's just not true. If the blood of Christ means anything, it means that what you did before you were baptized into Christ is washed away. Paul was told to rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Whatever you might have done, whatever might have happened, that is washed away in the blood of Christ. People who crucified Christ were forgiven in Acts chapter 2. It's something that we all need to be aware of, that God's grace, his mercy, is there. Paul said that that was the motivator for his life. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we need to all be aware of the fact that if we ever doubt the love of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, if you ever have any thought like that, just go back to God's grace, the grace of sending Christ to die for your sins. Secondly, Paul tells us how that this life now is what we live for. Paul says that we're to live in this present world, verse 14. And there are times when people try to say, oh, you Christians, you're just concerned about the next life. You don't have any concern about this life. And that's just not true. We are to live in this world. We're not to be of the world, but we are to live in the world. The point is that we can live the Christian life. And we need to continually remember that is what God wants us to do. Now, sometimes people put it off. Even an example in the Bible, Felix in Acts 24, he said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. As far as we know, Felix never called for Paul. There's no example in the Bible. There's no example in secular history that Felix ever became a Christian. He put it off, but you can live the Christian life here and now. Some people said, well, I intend to live the Christian life. Somebody once wrote and said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's not intentions, it's what will you do. You can live it. You can live it now. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. He said, because the night comes when no man can work. We need to continually say, I will do what I can right now. I can live it. I can do it. God wants me to do it here and now. The third thing that we find as a motivator is in verse 13, where Paul says, looking for that blessed hope. And that's something that every Christian needs. Paul said over in Romans chapter 8, we are saved by hope. And that hope is something that every Christian needs. He told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, your labor is not in vain in the Lord because you have that hope. The Hebrew writer talks about hope as the anchor for the soul. Just like an anchor keeps a boat from drifting off into the sea, the same thing is true about hope. When you again question your life, if you question, is it worth it? Is it question things that might happen? If you say, look, all these people are out there and they're just living for the devil and there's nothing happening to them, why should I give them everything that's fun and games and all this stuff? Why should I give all that for Christ? You can do it because of the hope that you have. You have a hope of living for Christ and living eternally with him. Then the fourth thing that he mentions there in verse 13, he says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. added up, and they have said that one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament deals with the second coming of Christ. I have not counted it, I just take that as true. But if it's not one out of every 25, you know there's a whole lot of them that do deal with it. He is coming back. He promised that he would come back. Now, the thing about it is, he said that no man knows the day or the hour. I don't know, you don't know, and all these preachers out there talk about how he's about to come, it's about to happen. I have books in my library back in the 1800s. And in the 1800s, people were saying, all the signs are here. He's about to come. It's about to. They did it in 1840, they did it in 1841, they did it in 1843, they did it in 1890, they did it in 1900, they did it in 1925. Every few years you have somebody else say, all the signs are here. And in my lifetime, I've seen several times where people said, in fact, it was a few years ago, somebody had a billboard up on the I-65 and said, he's about to come. The signs are all fulfilled. Well, it's just not true. We don't know when he's coming. Right. Bible says he'll come like a thief in the night. Do you expect a thief? Can you tell any signs the thief is coming? No. We don't know when he's coming, but we know that he is coming. And when he comes, it will be the day of salvation. It comes, it will be the day of truth. The day that will prove to everybody in the world, every atheist, every agnostic, every infidel will bow down to Christ on that day. They will all realize the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is true. Every Muslim, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every atheist in the world will see the truthfulness of Christ on that day. He is coming to determine eternal destinies. He gave this parable in Matthew 25 about judgment. There'll be the separation of the sheep and the goats. The goats, the sheep will go on the right hand, the goats on the left, and the sheep will hear the coming of the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The goats will hear the word, depart from the everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. It is a time of destiny. We need to keep that in mind. Then fifthly, there is the very nature of conversion itself. Look what he says in verse 14. He said, who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous for good works. Now that word peculiar in the King James Version is sometimes translated possessed people in other translations. It really means not the idea of peculiar in the sense of odd. There are some religions that hear this word peculiar in the Bible and say, well, we've got to be peculiar. Our ladies have to wear hair down to their waist. The ladies can't wear any dresses beyond their ankles. They have to have very plain, simple clothing. And nobody can wear any jewelry. Nobody can wear rings or watches or anything of that nature. We're to be a peculiar people. And I'll agree, that's peculiar. But the word peculiar there really means possessed. We are God's possession. We are God's own possession. And because we are God's possession, we live for him. The very nature of conversion is the fact that I was living for self, now I'm living for God. I was in the kingdom of darkness, now I'm in the kingdom of light. I walked after my own way, what I wanted, now I'm saying, what does God want in my life? It is a total change. Zealous of good works. What are some of the good works? Well, preaching the gospel, as we just had last week. That's a good work. Trying to get people, to reclaim people that once were faithful, now they've fallen away. Going back to them, as the Bible talks about, trying to restore them to their first love. That's good work. Taking care of the widows and orphans. James 1 talks about that. That's good work. Trying to provide for our families. That's good work. The Bible says if anyone doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. Worshiping in the assembly. That's a good work as well. So all these things and many, many others, they are good works. And in some ways, all of them are unique to Christianity. Something. But the Christianity has nothing unique. Well, it does. We won't get into that this morning. The fact is we can take all those points and show how they are unique to Christians. But we are to be people that are zealous for good works. Now, there's a lot of other motivating things that end the Bible. We could spend probably 2 or 3 hours talking about all those different things. But this one short little passage gives you the idea of what we have in Scripture that when you read it, say, wow, I'm motivated to go out and live for Christ. I'm motivated to go out and tell my neighbors about Christ. I'm motivated to go try to get some brothers and sisters falling by the wayside, get them to come back. I'm motivated to do good things, be zealous for good works. I'm motivated for all these things. And hope and pray all of us will be. Now we're going to sing the invitation song. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to go this morning. Believe in Jesus, God's Son. You want to repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. The martyrs did last Tuesday night. Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Rise and walk in the newness of life. That's Marcus did. Why don't we do that today? As a child of God, you realize you haven't been faithful to Christ. You need to dedicate your life. Why not come back this morning? Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come. We encourage you to come as you stand and as we stand.